Good morning. It's so lovely to be back with you again. I don't know how many of you were here when I preached. I don't know. The last 15, 16 months times get folded out of our memories, don't they, I think? I don't know, 2.5 years ago maybe. So it's lovely to be back. Thank you so much for the invitation, and I bring greetings from Bristol Baptist College. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? So what do you think? Is it okay to cry out, how long, Lord? Isn't it a sort of Christian version of, are we nearly there yet? The universal cry of children strapped into the car seat in the back. How long, Lord? Shouldn't we just grow up and get on with it? Isn't it a symptom of our lack of faith? Should we perhaps, like Mary, meekly fold our hands and say, as the King James puts it, be it unto me according to thy word? In other words, whatever happens, Lord, I will passively accept it. Isn't that the more faithful way? Well, if passive acceptance is the only faithful response, there's a lot of people in the Bible who are weak in their faith. The words we heard just now are from Psalm 13, but the question, how long, Lord, echoes throughout the Old Testament. Job cries, how long, in his suffering. The prophets Jeremiah, Hosea, Habakkuk, Daniel, and Zechariah all take up the refrain. And the question is asked in no fewer than 11 psalms, sometimes multiple times within that psalm. Some examples. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? The ungodly maliciously mock me. How long, Lord, will you look on? How long will the enemy mock you, God? Our enemies have poured out blood like water all around Jerusalem. How long, Lord? How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder? How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. How long, Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? And in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, John sees a vision of those who have faithfully witnessed to the truth of Jesus and have paid for it with their lives. And what are they crying out? How long, Lord? So here's clue number one, that crying out, how long, Lord, is not a symptom of weak faith, because there's a lot of it about. Clue number two follows quickly. As far as I can discover, nobody in Scripture is ever rebuked for asking the question, how long, Lord? The prophet Habakkuk is probably the easiest case to study because he actually receives a direct reply from God. Habakkuk looks around at the violence and the wickedness of his day and he cries out in protest, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. These are bold words. Habakkuk sounds like he's accusing God of indifference. So how is he answered? You worm, how dare you question me? No, God takes his question seriously and gives him a glimpse of the plans he's working out. Now, not everyone does get an answer from God. Our songwriter doesn't seem to, at least not explicitly. But no one gets rebuked for asking the question. No one gets zapped with a thunderbolt. So let's probe that a little bit more. Why is it okay to ask such a bold question of God? How come God doesn't mind when we tug at the seatbelt and cry, are we nearly there yet? Well, dig a little deeper into the psalm we heard today and we begin to discover the answer. It's in two particular words which carry a deep memory with them. And in order to discover that, let me just tell you a story. It's a story you know. Long in the past, even in the songwriter's past, God's people had been slaves in Egypt, making mud bricks for the Pharaoh's vanity project, beaten or slain at the whim of their masters. And they too had cried out to God, and for 400 years, 400 years, they had waited for him to respond. Surely, how long, Lord, was part of their cry. And God heard their cries, and he took notice, and he unrolled a complex and daring rescue plan. And when he had rescued them, delivered them from Egypt through the most extraordinary sequence of events, he brought them to a mountain, to Mount Sinai. And at that mountain, something even more extraordinary happened. At that mountain, God made a binding agreement with his people. It wasn't simply that he imposed binding rules upon them, like a king or a god was entitled to. No, at that mountain, he bound himself to them in steadfast love and faithfulness. It was called a covenant, a binding agreement, where God chose to commit himself. Now, there's a few really important words that are used in that story, and our songwriter is deliberately using two of them. And the first one is the name that he chooses to use for God. If you've got your Bible open, take a look. How long, Lord, in capitals. Now, that is the personal name for God, the name that the Jews regard as so holy they don't even speak it. And it's the name that God used for himself when he made a covenant with his people. Now, our songwriter could have chosen several other names to address God with, and they're all good ones, but the one he chose, the one written Lord in capitals, this is the covenant name for God. And when the songwriter uses this name, he's choosing to remember what happened at that mountain. He's remembering that God made a binding promise with his people. And he's making his prayer on that basis. We might almost translate his words, "How long, God of covenant?" or "How long, God of promise?" Now, the other particular word that the songwriter uses is in verse 5, and the NIV translates it unfailing love. Some versions use steadfast love or something similar. Worth making a note of how your Bible translates it, because this is a word that crops up a lot in the Old Testament, and the reason it's so common is because it's the way God chose to describe himself back at the Mountain of Covenant. Exodus 34, verse 6, if you're making notes, this is what God says. The Lord, there's that name again. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. There's that word. And faithfulness. So when our songwriter chooses these two words, he knows what he's doing. How long, God of covenant, he begins. I trust in your covenant love, he says, as he draws to a close. Now, remember the question that we're probing. Why is it okay for the songwriter to cry out, "How long, Lord?" And here's the answer. Because that cry is rooted in a knowledge of God's character, a confidence in his promises, a recollection of what God has done in history. It's a cry of faith. If we think about it carefully, there are three dimensions to the songwriter's confidence. He looks back at what God has done in history. And he knows that God is now and always a God of steadfast love. And he trusts the promises that God has made for the future. My heart rejoices in your salvation, he says, not because he's seen it yet, but because God has promised it. Crying out, "How long, Lord?" isn't a cry of doubt. It's a cry of faith. It's the cry that says, "Lord, you have acted in history. You have made promises to us which haven't yet been completely fulfilled. So how long until you do?" It's the cry that says, "Lord, I know you are a God of faithfulness, of steadfast covenant love. So how long until you act? How long is a question that you only ask if you believe that there is somebody listening? Somebody whose goodness you can appeal to, somebody who is committed to your welfare. How long is a question that you will only ask if you believe there is something better coming, a better future that has been promised? Yesterday, I was in Glastonbury. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the town. In Glastonbury, you can buy essential oils said to have magical lunar infusions. You can get crystals claimed to enhance your chakra. You can take part in exercises to try to unblock your chi. You can seek guidance with a tarot reading. You can burn incense and participate in Wicca. You can join a Sangha for Buddhist meditation. The place is bewildering, I thought, busy and highly commercialized. Remember the three dimensions of the songwriter's confidence in God? History, present, and future. The covenant God has made in history. God's steadfast love now and always, and God's promise of salvation for the future. All of these are missing in the spiritual practices so evident at Glastonbury. These practices are not rooted in any historical action of any deity. They can point to no concrete moment when God stepped into history and did something public. And while these spiritual practices are very much focused on the now, they're seeking personal peace, wholeness, and alignment. They're not rooted in the revealed character of God. The deities that they seek are vague and elusive and are ill-defined. These deities have never spoken, and steadfast love and faithfulness are not among their attributes. And these spiritual practices offer no promise of future salvation. The best they can hope for is personal reincarnation or being united with Mother Earth. They hold out no concrete hope of salvation. So pray for those who are caught up in this futile set of spiritual practices, because our songwriter has taught us something far, far better. How long, Lord, he cries. How long, God of covenant? I know your character is steadfast love. I know you have made promises, and I wait for you to keep them. But you and I know something more than the songwriter of the Old Testament. Because since he penned his poem, God has acted again in history. And so for you and me, followers of Jesus Christ, we have a three-dimensioned faith that is even better than his. With regard to the past, we too can look back at the time when God sent Moses to bring his people out of slavery. But more than this, we can look back at the time when God sent Jesus to rescue his people from enslavement to and complicity with the evil of the world. We can look back at a time when God made a covenant with his people on Mount Sinai. But more than this, we can look back at a time when God renewed that covenant in bread and wine. And in personal terms, we can look back at a time when we passed through the waters of baptism, when God made covenant with each one of us, one by one. With regard to the present, we too know the character of God, now and always revealed on Mount Sinai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. But more than this, we have not simply heard it said, but we have seen it embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And with regard to the future, we too look forward to the salvation that God has promised. But the promise is clearer now than it was in the songwriter's day. He hoped for salvation. He didn't really know what that looked like. We have met the Savior. And while we too await the full outworking of that still, we have a clear promise to hold on to. A promise of a world where no one will weep or mourn, a promise of a world without violence. So is it okay to cry out, "How long, Lord?" Yes, 1,000 times yes. It's a faithful response to the woes of the world and the woes of our own lives. It's a faithful response to the evil of the world and the evil in our own hearts. One more word. And this is about how we might use this prayer for ourselves and on behalf of others. The prayer may rise in our hearts when we experience our own griefs and losses. There'll be people in this congregation today or listening online later who feel that way right now. People who are right in the middle of the storm, experiencing health issues, financial challenges, relationship problems, anxieties, doubts, bereavement, addiction. You know, God knows. This prayer is for you to take hold of. These are words you can faithfully take and use as your own. Remember what God has done in history. Hold on to your knowledge of his character and look to his concrete promises of salvation. And then cry out in faith, "How long, Lord?" But this is also a prayer that we can pray for others. You may know situations close at hand where this prayer is appropriate. "How long, Lord?" But don't just keep it for the local. It's a prayer we might pray about the global problems of today. Climate change, pandemic, war. "How long, Lord?" This is a prayer we might pray for the enslaved, the abused, the oppressed, the displaced. "How long, Lord?" This is a prayer we might pray with and for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted for their faith in him. For those in prison camps, those who have seen their churches burned down, those who hide their Bibles or dare not possess one at all, those who meet in secret or cannot meet at all, those who carry wounds and scars and bereavements. "How long, Lord?" So how long, Lord? How long before you bring in your reign of peace? How long before you keep every element of what you have promised? We are confident in you because we have seen you act in history in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We trust in the promises you have made and in our own personal claim upon those promises through our baptism. We're confident in your steadfast love and faithfulness because we've seen it embodied in Jesus Christ. And we are confident that what we see around us is not how you're going to leave things. We are confident that a new, better, concrete future is at hand. So how long, Lord? Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Helen. That's a great reminder for how to interpret and think about those words, isn't it? And in our final song now, we're invited to come before the throne of God above. And Helen's reminded us that it's a God that we're in a covenant relationship with that has a steadfast love for us. Isn't that great as we come to him now? And we can ask how long. That's a really good word, I think, to know that we can ask because he fulfills his promises to us because he loves us and he's committed to us. So let's thank Helen for reminding us of that. And as we stand and worship in our hearts, even if not in song, and join together in this final song.
Thank you.
let's remain standing as we just finish our service today by wrapping up all our thoughts in a prayer which we can say together. I think it will come up on the screen in a moment. If it doesn't, I'll just go and get my piece of paper. Yes, let's say this together as we think about what we heard today, about going into the week, Julie's prompt for us to go into the week and maybe share some of our story with people we meet as we carry forward something that we carry in ourselves and that we want to pass on to other people as well. So let's say together, Father God, you have been good to us. We choose to trust in your unfailing love. We will let our hearts rejoice in your salvation. We will be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord as we carry your message of hope into the week ahead. And let's say the blessing together as we finish. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us today, and we will meet here again same time next week. We're looking towards a slightly prompter start, just to give a heads up for anybody who cuts it a bit fine, as I used to be in the habit of doing, but I'm now a reformed character. So thank you for being here, and we will do feel free to sit down, but we're going to start our new regime of leaving promptly so that we don't undo all the good work of having been COVID separated while we're in here. So if the people from the front row could go out through the doors and then to the side. Somebody might need to open the door, because I'm not sure if Helen goes first, she'll know the way out, but somebody else can. And then we'll go around, let's meet in the car park, chat whatever, and get our stuff and go into the garden next door and pitch off for lunch. Does that sound like a good plan? Great. We'll see you out there in a moment then. Yeah, Rachel can do the doors.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life.